Let's greet the people next to us. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Today's title is Samuel's Covenant Journey. And I'm relaying the message regarding the stream of those who held onto the covenants. We are not living the religious life in our faith, but God gave us the covenant, and we must live life in the covenant, following the covenant, seeing the fulfillment of the covenant. And through Christ, we will restore all things and become the witnesses, and I believe that we will enjoy this blessing. The entire world is in trouble due to the coronavirus. We had the MERS, the SARS, and now we have the coronavirus. And we do not know when another new virus will come out. But your faith must not sway because of that. When these disasters come, we have to see the disasters and discover why we have to proclaim the gospel, and we must proclaim the gospel and live the life of the witness. And because the world is in uproar, if your faith is in uproar too, then that is a loss for you. And Satan will do his best to make your faith go down. But as children of God, during this time of crisis, it's more the time to look up to God, time to pray to God, a time to gain spiritual strength. And it's a time to save those who are in suffering and hardship. And we must become those evangelists. And there are financial issues, business issues, and a lot of things are being paralyzed right now because of this virus. And these are all disasters. And we have to see this as God's warning. But if we only see it as just one virus, then we will not find the answer. And so as people of God, we will not fall down. And because we are children of God and we have God's power with us, we can easily restore all things. And you may face lots of hardships, and there will be hardships in the church as well. But God promised to protect the people of God, and that's the covenant. And so, may your faith not sway, but become the people of faith that will continue to look up to God. In 1800, there's a man named Wesley. And he arose this revival movement. And a lot of people came to his revival conference. And Wesley thought, there are numerous people here, but what if they become a crowd? They must not be a crowd, but like Jesus' method, we have to find disciples and raise disciple movements. And so he began disciple movement and centered on those disciples. He overturned England. And through England, the gospel spread to the world, and we received the gospel. We must not become the crowd, but we must always become the disciple. Disciple of Christ, disciple of the Lord, disciple of the Word of God. And a disciple always follows the Word of God. It's a person that lives a life centered on worship. Follows the covenant. That's a disciple. To save Japan, we need to raise disciples. Not people who come to church or not because of their emotions, or don't come to church because there's problems. No, we must become disciples. And like this Wesley movement, we have to arise and revive movement once again. And we arise this revive movement, then we can save Japan and the world. And people called Japan the tomb for the missionaries. And people say that Japan, the gospel cannot be proclaimed in Japan. And we are living in a nation that is filled with idolatry. But God developed this nation. God globalized this nation. And God made Japan very international for the sake of the gospel. And we are the ones who remained in Japan to proclaim the gospel. We're the scattered ones. We're the ones who will remain. We're the ones who leave behind in Japan. And we've been given this mission. And so we must pray a lot to save Japan and make disciples among many people in Japan and arise life movement, world movement, defense movements in the regions. And we must arise these movements in our lives. And what is the blessing of all blessings? It is the meeting. It's the most important meeting. In the path that we walk, the most important is the blessed meetings. It's a blessing that parents meets, or the children meets the right parents. It's also a very important meeting for students to meet the right teachers. And it's also a great blessing to meet the right spouse. But what's more important than that is the blessed meeting with the evangelist that proclaims the true gospel. To meet a pastor or evangelist that proclaims the true gospel is a blessing you receive for entire life. And it is also a blessing to meet a church that proclaims the gospel. And that is a blessing that you have received that will continue on for thousands of years. And the fact that you're living a walk of faith in a church that does events and missions and raises the remnants, that is a blessed meeting that you have received that will continue on for eternity. And I believe that you have already received this blessed meeting. So let's look at the covenant that Samuel held on to. Samuel's covenant. Number one, Samuel's covenant. People think skilled individuals are the ones that will accomplish things. And people think skilled individuals can do skilled work. And people's standard of a good person or not is based on if you can do your job well or not. But in the Bible, it's not about being renowned or not or skilled or not. But the question is, did you hold on to the covenant that God gave you, or did you lose hold of that covenant? And God works according to that. Even if I'm not renowned, even if I'm not skilled, if I have held on to God's covenant, then God will hold on to me and He will use me and I will become witness to save many individuals. So God did not use renowned individuals. And 2 weeks ago we saw Joseph, last week we saw Moses, we saw many individuals with the covenant. But God did not use them because they were renowned. God did not use those who are only renowned, but even if you are renowned or not, God used these individuals because they're very certain of the covenant that they received from God. So it's not about being renowned or skilled or not. The question is, if you hold on to the covenant correctly, then God will have to use you. And it's the most important to become that worker of God. And if you look at Samuel, he had important meetings. There are covenant that is quickly fulfilled, and there are covenant that will be fulfilled later on in the future or later on in your life. So you must not sway in the covenant. So you have to hold on to the covenant and wait. So in covenant, you have to wait. When Adam and Eve committed the sin, for 4,000 years, God continued to promise that he will send the Messiah. And for 4,000 years in the Old Testament, God promised to send the Messiah. And after 4,000 years, the Messiah that was promised came as the Christ. So there's a covenant that is quickly fulfilled, instantly fulfilled. But there is also a covenant that is fulfilled according to God's time schedule that will come later on in the future. So when you hold on to covenant, you must not sway, because answers might not come to you right now. But God is preparing you for you to receive those answers later on in the future. And that's what we call the journey. So from your perspective, there are situations where you want to quickly resolve or quickly want answers. From God's perspective, it's not that. Instead of quickly receiving answers and failing it later on in the future, even if it's not resolved right now, after you experience the blessings and the answers God prepared for you and confess it was God who did the work, when you find that answer, you will not fail no matter what in the future. So is it better to receive that blessing or receive blessings right now instantly? It's important to receive the blessings that will not collapse or not, will not fail. So it's not that you're not receiving answers. It's not that nothing's not taking place. No, God is preparing you right now for all to take place. So there is no such thing as no answers in our prayers. Everything will come to us as answers. Whatever you seek, whatever you ask, I will give to you. That's what Jesus promised. And whatever you ask, you will be given. So you have to continue to wait, see the time schedule of God, and enlarge in your vessel as you wait for the fulfillment of the covenant. And you are growing in your faith and in your vessel. And then one day, God will grant you amazing answers. And that's the work of God. And when we live in this world, because we have our standards, we want answers to quickly come to us. And I'm very hasty as well. And when I do something, I want to do something very quickly. And if I don't do it, then I can't sleep. Well, that's my perspective. That's my situation. From God's perspective, if it's time to prepare me, then it's rightful to prepare me, right? Now, that's correct. And I'm not prepared, but I want to quickly resolve answers. I want to quickly want to solve these problems. Then God will think, oh, you're very hasty. And God will say, just wait and prepare. And that's what God is telling us. So do not try to wait. Do not try to be hasty with the answers you want. Instead, wait and see the time schedule of God first. And you see it through God's word. Hannah was not a woman that could not give birth to a child. She could give birth to a child. But from God's perspective, he needed an individual that was separate, that was different from this world. And God saw the age. And God saw the age that was, that where the churches were collapsing. And he saw the faith of believers that were failing. If there is no right person with the correct faith, then the next generation, the future will be more and more dark. And God saw that. That's why God put his heart into Hannah. And Hannah understood correctly. And Hannah went through so much hardship. She was bullied because she could not bear a son. Right, in the Old Testament, you have to be fruitful, you have to increase in numbers. And that was considered a blessing. And so if you could not give birth to a child, then that means that you were cursed. Right, in this age that we are living in, it might be better not to have any children. Because it's very difficult to raise a child. So it might be better, but in the Old Testament, it was the complete opposite. And so Hannah was bullied so much. And it says that she was very hasty, that she wanted to end it. And she prayed so much to God. And she was saying, those who go against the Lord will be cursed, and then all that thing. And Hannah thought that it wasn't going against her, it was going against God. So Hannah didn't have an interest in having a child or not. No, her interest was in God. The one that God provides. And that's Nazirite. And she held on to the covenant of the Nazirite, and that's how God worked in her. And so the covenant that Samuel held on to is the covenant that you must hold on to today. Through the mother's prayer, Samuel received the blessing of the Nazarene. And what is Nazarene or Nazirite? It's the powerful leader with the gospel. Right? It's a leader with power, with skills, that has the gospel. And these are the images that God desired. And during that time, to be a Nazarene means that you will not cut your hair, that you will wear clothing, you know, that was clothed from animals, right? They wear the skins of the animals, and it's not like today's clothing, but they would not eat in the mountains. They would just go into the mountains and look up to God, and they would eat locust and honey and just look up to God. And that was considered a Nazarene. But in one way, Nazarene was sort of unsecular, a person that was separated from the world and looked only up to God. So that's the definition of the old Nazarene. But what is a true Nazarene? It's a person that enters the world that is collapsing and proclaims the Lord, proclaims the gospel. That's a true Nazarene. And because the church is collapsing, and the believers and the priests are, and the families are collapsing, and church believers are all collapsing, as he saw that, who did God need? God needed someone to go to that church from the age, look up to God and hear God's voice, and with God's voice proclaim the word of God. God needed that kind of Nazarene. And who was that? That was Samuel. The leader that can go to the problem and proclaim the gospel and save the problem. That's a true Nazarene. We're not hermits who go up to the mountains and bow their heads and just pray. No, we look at the age as in disaster, problems, and curses, and we go to them, we save them. That's the discerned Nazarene. And we are living that life. That's the meaning of the Nazarite, or Nazarene. And so you must become the leaders with the gospel. Not because you're skilled. You can give the answer because you have the gospel, and that's how you become leaders. So please enjoy this blessing. Elijah, John the Baptist, Samson. All these people went into the world. They went inside disaster that was filled with curses. And they went there and they proclaimed the Lord God. And that's the Nazarene. Just living a good walk of faith by yourself, keeping your faith, living the life of prayer by yourself is not the Nazarene. Holding on God's word, praying, and by yourself gaining spiritual strength. If you gain that spiritual strength, then now you have to go into the world. You have to go to the field. You have to go to the field and you have to proclaim to them. And we call that the Nazarene. And so you're the Nazarene with the gospel in this age. So please enjoy this blessing. And because he had the covenants like this from a young age, he was always next to the Ark of the Covenant. And this is where he always heard God's voice. And what was the content of God's word? God gave the word of God that will prevent the future disasters. So how must we listen to God's word? Or in the field that I am in, to those people, they are dying because of the six states of non-believers. They are spiritually dying right now. Whenever you pray, you have to hear those words of God into your heart. Then you can go to the field. And you will go and tell them. To those who don't have no future, go and tell them the answer. To those who have scars, to those who are living their scars in the past and have no answers, you're going to them and giving them the answer. So please enjoy this blessing. And the movement that he arose through this was the Mizpah movement. And who does Samuel leave behind? He anoints David and leaves him behind. In other words, he leaves behind a disciple. This is the image that God needed in this age. And that's what God gave this heart to Hannah and pray with this covenant. As we live our lives, family situation, environment situation, our business, our children, and in many areas of our life, we face hardships. But we're not telling God, Lord, because it's difficult, please do this and please that. And God's not making us do something after we're healed through these hardships because it's difficult. No. In the difficulties, we have to hold on to the covenant. We have to hold on to God's covenant that God gave to Samuel. I must be able to always listen to God's voice. I must be able to hear and experience God's word. I must be able to always find the answers through the word of God. And not live my life to resolve the problems of my reality or the problems of my actual life. But we must live the life of saving people that will resolve the problems of my life and other people's life. For that reason, God has called us as the spiritual leaders, as a Nazarene of this age. So please enjoy this blessing. The people that you evangelize, when they come together and worship, that's the Mizpah movement. And among them, there are going to be disciples and leaders like David who will save the next generation. And that's why we have to continue to raise remnants. And that's an amazing movement of this age. For this reason, God has called each and every one of us. For this reason, God gave Samuel this covenant. Do you understand? The covenant that enters the remnants from a young age, because it's in them from a young age, God will not throw them away. But if they separate from God's word for a very long time, they will go through a lot of suffering first. Even if they live diligently, they will suffer. Even if they work hard, they are going to suffer. And God will call them back. But if we know ahead of time and continuously go receiving grace, then what will become the problem? If we have these kind of remnants, then what is going to be the problem, right? Answers will continuously come. And so for young age, remnants, you must not leave from God's word. You have to always find today's word. Find today's prayer. Find today's evangelism. You have to continue to live inside that word. Live inside that and do your studies and do your business within that word of God. Then God will be pleased. And you become the historic Nazarene. And I bless you, Jesus Christ, to be victorious with this blessing. Number two. Let's see the covenant journey. Samuel's covenant journey. Like Moses, Samuel was born in the Levite family. Hannah was a woman of prayer, always centered on God with faith, prayed in tears to God, and was a mother of prayer. And there are men in the church, but the prayers of the mothers are the most important. And I mentioned this last week as well. Look at Timothy, his grandmother and his mother, to Eunice and Louis. He been relayed the word of God from young age. That's how God uses Timothy. And if that continues on for centuries, then that's an amazing family. That's a family line. Please pray a lot for your children. You must pray a lot for your children. And Samuel is born in the Levi family. And the mother promises to God, if you give me a son, the moment he leaves my breast, I will send him and send him to the church. But how can you send your child the moment he leaves you to the temple? I'm not telling you to actually do that to your children. No, what does that mean? It means that Samuel lived a life centered on the church. Samuel lived a life centered on the church. In other words, he lived a life centered on worship. Lived a life centered on worship and heard God's voice. He always heard God's voice. How do we know God? We know God through the Bible. How did you meet God? You met God through the Word of God, right? How did you meet Christ? You met Christ through the Word of God. And as promised, the Holy Spirit came upon us. Is it now with us? Then, the life of communicating with God, dwelling with God, is life of worship. The life of meeting God is life of prayer. And you live the life centered on the covenant, and that's Samuel. And from a young age, he was raised as a leader. He lived a life of a leader. In this age, you know, tell you to become a president or a prime minister. You can't do that. But you can become a spiritual leader that can save those individuals. Why? Because we have the gospel, we have the word of God with us. We know the spiritual mystery. We know the spiritual facts. And so we can become spiritual leaders. You can become a spiritual leader of your field, of your workplace. Can become the spiritual leader of your region. You must believe that God has called each and every one of you as a spiritual leader of this age, and this is the covenant journey that Samuel walked. You must become the spiritual leader, not the person that follows the environment, follows the situation, follows the people, follows the workplace. Then all that is left in your life is the physical things, and that's not eternal. Don't become a person that follows the world, but become the one that leads the world. Right? You have to lead the world. You have to spiritually lead them. Well, the spiritual mystery, give them spiritual answers. Not the person that is following the world, but give them the answer and lead them. The moment you accept Jesus Christ, you become a temple of God, you become a church. And in Greek, it's ekklesia. It means to call those from the outside. We have to call those who are outside into our house. To those who are outside the gospel, to call them inside the house, inside the gospel, and that's the church, and that's the spiritual leader. Not the person that matches with the world, but the ones who have to lead them into the gospel, and that's the church. That's us. So you must always live with the mindset of the leader. When you go to a workplace, there are your bosses, there are your seniors, there are, you know, your people above you. But you must not just follow their words. You have to see them spiritually. Because they are in hardship. They are worried. They are have hidden problems. And they're living with sufferings that they cannot show to other people. And as we talk to them, we have to give them the answer and lead them. That's a spiritual leader. And that's who God has called us as. So please enjoy this blessing. And who are the people that really vexed the Israelites? It was the Philistines. And the Philistines always took the Ark of the Covenant away from the Israelites. The Ark of the Covenant is the Word of God. It's God's power. It's God's guidance. It's amazing, important to Lyric. And it's the centerpiece of worship to God. But whenever they went to battle against Philistines, then they would be taken away whenever the Israelites would fail in their walk of faith. And the Philistines could not be defeated when Samuel was born. That's why God prepared David. Well, there was continuous warfare and continuous battles. But through Samuel, God restored the Ark of the Covenant. And restore the Ark of the Covenant. Satan is the one that takes away your spiritual aspects every single day. If there's a small gap, Satan will attack through it and confuse your thoughts and your heart and spiritually take away the mess that it's within you. And you live like non-believers. And your physical eyes will open. And takes away all the spiritual things away from you just for your physical eyes to open. And so our spiritual Philistine is Satan. So to fight against Satan. You have to take away something who takes away the Word of God. And that's taking away the Ark of the Covenant. It makes you lose hold of prayer. It makes you live a life where you do not pray. And if you don't pray, you think so much of the world. You think so much of the worldly things. And you live a life where you don't even think about evangelism. That's what diseases has come upon this world. You only think about, I must be safe through this coronavirus. You don't even think about the coronavirus spiritually. And you're not explaining the reason why this coronavirus came. It means it's taken away. The Ark of the Covenant is taken away. So even if it's just us, we have to restore God's Word every single day. Restore God's Word every day. Restore prayer every day. And restore evangelism every day. Only that is the answer to breaking down the force of darkness, the way to prevent disasters. Every single day, restore the Ark of the Covenant. So please enjoy this blessing. And breaking down all forces of darkness, idolatry, and reviving was the Mizpah movement. And after the Mizpah movement took place, when Samuel was alive, the warfare ended. The disaster was blocked. When you restore the Word of God, all disaster will block. If you restore prayer, all the forces of darkness will stop. When you restore evangelism, disaster of the age will be stopped. And that's why it says the warfare ended. And then he anoints David as king. He anoints David as the king. He anoints his disciple as the king that will rule the world. So remnants don't just study, but we need a remnant that can go into the field of politics. Isn't that so? You need to go as leaders that can go into those respective fields, go to all the fields, and proclaim the correct gospel. Don't do it like the heretic Shincheonji religion, all those cults, but with God's word, that whoever sees it, they will see the work of God. And I believe that this movement will take place. And this is Samuel's journey. Last, number three. There was the covenant goal of Samuel, or his masterpiece. And he left behind an amazing masterpiece. But it's not Samuel who made it, but it was God who worked through Samuel. And Samuel always lived life centered on the Ark of the Covenant, from young age, centered on the Ark of the Covenant. And he never left it. He was always next to it. He slept next to it. Always next to the Ark of the Covenant. And what's the Ark of the Covenant? It's God's word. It's God's power. It's God's guidance. Everything was inside the Ark of the Covenant. The movement and the masterpiece was the Mizpah movement. All this, it threw away their idolatry. The day you really hold on to the gospel, that's when Japan will throw away all its idolatry. That day will come, and that's how we can save Japan. Japan saved the world through doing, you know, physical things, but Japan can save the world through the gospel now. It can spiritually save the world. And these disciples must arise in Japan. And there's one thing I'm thankful of when this coronavirus came, that they're not doing the Matsuri festivals in Japan. Right now it's the Matsuri season. But thankfully, due to coronavirus, they can't do this Matsuri. It's a time for us to quietly pray to God and concentrate. I'm very thankful. Even in this corona, we worship. It does not matter for us. And we're not worshiping because it's that time. Every day is a worship for us. I think the gods of Japan is going to be very angry, because Japanese people are not giving them the gifts that they usually give. But every Japanese person is just being deceived. They're being deceived through the cultures. But through the coronavirus, what is the covenant God wants us to hold on to? You have to discover that. Don't try just to be careful, but you have to see the coronavirus spiritually. And what movement must arise in Japan to really break down the force of darkness and break down the idolatry and gather a Mizpah? You have to pray these prayers. And that's the prayer of Nazarene and the prayer of Hannah. It's not about praying to have another child and give that child as Nazarene. I'm not talking about that. In this situation that we are given, we have to align ourselves to the direction that God desires. We have to align our direction, change our direction to what God desires and what God hopes for. And what is that? A lot of public schools are stopping until the end of April. The school is not important. And we have the internet right now. You have to continue to relay the messages through the internet as well. And so at this time, you have to make these kind of platforms for people to hear the messages. Then remnants will arise. And that's important. If we're just only being careful, then there's no reason for God to grant the coronavirus during this time. We have to hold on to reason why God gave us the coronavirus and pray with it. And for Japan, for the remnants, and to all the people who are dying, what answer must we give to them? What kind of events must we do? What kind of healing must we do? You have to continue to pray and make up that platform. And that's evangelism. And just thinking of that, God will grant you wisdom. And if you don't meet them, you can relay the message to them through the internet, through the SNS, in videos or in audio. But we have to arise as missed movements. So please enjoy this blessing. And God gave the blessing of Ebenezer. Okay, God blessed them, and God's the one who is making it wide. And God's the one who is making your spirituality grow. And it must be the same with your workplace and your office and all the things you do, your skills and everything. The word movement must also spread as well. The disciple movement and the posterity movement must continue to spread and widen. They have to enlarge. And that's what God is doing through us. And you must receive that kind of answer. And what's the most important movement that Samuel did? Now that he's getting older, he's going to pass away soon. But if he passes by and ends there, then there's no reason. Even if there's a covenant journey or rise of missed movement, even if all the believers repented and came back to the Lord, he needs to decide if they can continue that ministry. That's why God prepared David as the king. And it's not just about anointing him with oil and ending it there. No, he continued to show the field, showed the problem of the age. And that is how the Israelites are in suffering because of Philistines. And Samuel showed the field to David and also continued to seed the restoration through the word of God. And David received that heart from a young age. He received God's heart as his heart from a young age. And that's how Samuel raised David. So for the word of God to become his heart. That's why when David became king, he always had the heart to construct the temple of God. Why? To put the Ark of the Covenant there. And that's the kind of disciple that Samuel raised in David. We need a remnant that says, I'm going to make this gospel church more bigger and stable. We have to see that in the remnants. In high school, you know, they will follow because they're smarter now and, you know, they read the atmosphere when they're college students. But when they become their own world, it doesn't matter if it's a church or not. It's not about the covenants anymore. And they're preparing to live in the world, they're preparing to adapt to the world and survive in the world. And they think about literally earning money in the world. And that's the path they're walking. I'm going to go to college and save the college. If you have the hearts, that is a historic covenant, a historic remnant. That's a historic remnant. And those people save the school, the college, as well as universities, and even save the companies that they get into in the future. But like Samuel, we have to raise a David. We have to raise a disciple like David. If it's a disciple like this, there's nothing for you to give to them. Do not even give them scholarships. Why are you giving them money or scholarships? You're sticking your life and, you know, working so diligently by giving all that money to remnants who are not living the walk of faith. That's nonsense. We're not doing charity. We're raising disciples. As Samuel lived his life, he had to talk about the covenant he received from God to David. And David was anointed with oil as king. And that word of God really came into him. And when he constructed the temple of God, the construction, he's going to construct the temple where he's going to put the Ark of the Covenant, so the Ark of the Covenant will not be taken away anymore. And he's trying to restore the temple of God. And he was raised as that kind of disciple. We call that the remnant movement. Samuel successful in the remnant movement. Do you understand? You're not a remnant because you're in this church. You're not a remnant because you're going through trainings. A true remnant is a remnant that holds on to the covenant. When that remnant arises, even if you have to sell your house and give them money, you have to do that. If you have that one remnant that really holds on to the covenant, you have to stake your life and help them to go the correct path. Then we have another disciple like him, or like that person. And if we have to help them in some areas, then we have to help those remnants. If a remnant really holds a covenant, if it's a remnant that doesn't have any covenant but you help them, it might be a loss. Do you understand? We have to raise these remnants. Samuel was successful in disciple ministry. If we have this one remnant, the age is completely going to change. That one remnant. And he did all this movement. He did a lot of amazing works. But that was not important. What's more important is to raise a remnant that will become the spiritual summit, that will become the king, that will really control the temple, and that will, you know, really save the future. And even David confessed, I'd rather be next to the Ark of the Covenant than be in the palace filled with the physical things. And that spiritual ideology was relayed from Samuel to David so much that David confessed about these things. And actually, David did live that life, right? That's being successful in the remnant movement. So we have to leave behind this kind of masterpiece in the gospel church. We have to raise these kind of workers like David. We need to raise a remnant like David who will save the age. Then Japan will be overturned. And one person relayed this message right now, and through that one person in Korea, the entire world is receiving this gospel. But if a remnant like this arises in Japan, then Japan will be the forefront of leading the world, and this movement will rise and will continue to spread. Look at the Japanese people. They're very systematic. They're very, you know, cooperative. They're very, you know, very good people. They're very good. They're very skilled and very good at leaving behind things. And we need a leader like that in Japan who can give influence to the world then it's over. It's okay if our church can't do anything else. If we raise this one remnant in this gospel church, this gospel church will become a global church. And that's how it happens. And that's God's masterpiece. To leave you on this masterpiece, even in hardships and bullying and difficulties, even in facing death, Hannah continued to pray to God from her heart, and God granted her the mystery of the Nazarene, and this is how God worked through that prayer. So, Remnant Church officers, conclusion. Next year, we will give our 30th year anniversary worship. And the Olympics has been postponed to next year as well. The Olympics on July 23rd. And our 30th anniversary is August 27th. August 27th is the day when we pioneered the church in Akasaka, and it will be 30 years. And next year, we hope for St. Pastor Timothy to be ordained as a pastor. And we're going to think and also raise new elders, senior deaconess, and ordained deacons. And we already prepared the senior deaconess. And we're praying to God for the ordained deacons and raise them. And we will 30th anniversary next year. So this year, let's really evangelize to 500 believers. For next year. And also the construction of RTC sanctuary. So let's pray to the very end. I pray for the land near our church, our neighbors. And we are constructing, and we can really pray to God and give the greatest glory to God next year. And really proclaim the gospel, raise the posterity. And let's pray to God that God will bless us. And if all the believers hold on to this covenant together and pray. Yes, we're all in a difficult situation. We're in a situation we're not doing this. But let's look up to God and see how He will work. And depending on His time schedule, the blessings will come. So starting today, hold on to the conclusion as your prayer topics and pray together. And raise remnants like Samuel, like David, in a blessing name, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you. Through the first service message, we thank you for allowing us to see the covenant journey of Samuel. To all the believers I love, may you bless them as the witnesses to become the spiritual leaders to save the field. And for the 30th year anniversary worship next year, may you allow us the blessing to construct the RTC and raise new pastors, elders, deacons, and ordained deacons. We've got this blessing upon us. And through our prayer, may the power of recreation that creates from nothing into everything come upon our church. And to all the believers I love in their families, work, business, workplace, and other families, please grant them your evidence. And with the strength that you give us, may we give you the greatest glory and we work in each and every one of us. We thank you and we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.